All right, everybody, welcome to our group coaching call. It's great to be here with you guys. Susan and I are excited to have some great discussions today on how we can help move things forward for you. As usual, I'd like to get started by on a positive note. I would love to hear about your wins over the past week or so. Just do this right now. Go to the chat area, type in a capital W, and share a recent win with us. And just a reminder, a win can be anything you feel good about, any kind of progress, big or small. It doesn't have to be anything monumental, earth-shattering, something you feel good about. Some examples could be moving along through the program. Maybe you got a good insight while going through one of the sessions. You finalize your positioning. You're making progress with your website. You got a response from a prospect after, you know, finally hitting send on a warm email. Anything that you feel really good about, type it into the chat area with a capital W in front of it so we know that that's what you're referring to. Big win for the past week. All right, don't be shy. I know there's some wins out there. Joanne, Michael, Randy, Susan, Jennifer, hey, welcome. Good to see you. And Michael, welcome. It's great to have you in the group. I think you just joined us a couple of days ago. Jim says, Burlington, Vermont, it's warm, about 82, but 71% humidity. That sounds like Atlanta, except it's 92 here with the same humidity. I never complain about the heat, but that humidity isn't comfortable. Oh, I know. All right, Colleen says, when I had a conversation booked in mid-July and the prospect did not answer the phone. He did not respond to a follow-up email. On Tuesday this week, I sent him another email, a 9-word email, and he responded. Yay. We're booked to talk on Monday. Awesome. Isn't that great? Yeah, definitely a win for sure. Michael says, big win, decision made, connected with Jessica, doing my website. Oh, awesome. Great. So Michael's having her team do his website for him, which, again, guys, it's always an option. It's not something we push. Just know that it's available to you. If you ever want to inquire about that, if it's just too much, not something you're interested in, send me an email, add@b2blauncher.com, put a website in the subject line, and I'll respond with the details on that. So good thing. Doesn't that feel great just to have that, like, just off your shoulders, whether you're having somebody else do it or you finally got it done yourself? It's a big step. Susan says, finished my web rewrite, moving on to LinkedIn. Fantastic. Great win, Susan. Congratulations. Randy says, big win, worked up a new elevator speech. I work with companies to have their marketing pieces speak directly to the heart of their target audience. Awesome.
Very nice. My
recommendation, Randy, would be to add two elements to it, especially the first one, which is what types of companies, right? So tell the whom you serve, your target audience. So I help these types of companies do X. Okay. But good stuff. It's nice, succinct. I like it. Michael says, amazing feeling to have that website out of the way. Yes. Susan says, I have no audio. Okay. So Susan, when you connect, you have two options. Susan Baracco, would you mind, because obviously she can't hear me, so I don't even know why I'm explaining this. Would you mind typing maybe to exit, and then when she joins the meeting again?
Yes. Yes.
Use one of the two audio options. I mean, you know Zoom better than I do. So, yeah, thank you for that. I know how frustrating that can be. Guys, if you didn't join us last week, we're trying Zoom as the platform. So far, it's working really well, but just like with any technology, when you move into something new, it's not going to be smooth for everybody. So just bear with us. We feel very strongly this is going to be much better for you guys. Not only is it smoother overall, which is hard to believe if you've had any trouble, but it's going to give us a visual element that we didn't have before. And it's going to be less confusing. There's only one place where you can type in your question, your issue, your challenge. as opposed to all these different screens. And also a reminder that you can always pre-submit questions just like you could before. Go to the call page for the upcoming call. And if you know you're not going to be here, but you want me to address something, you'll see a field where you can enter your question and your challenge. Now, if you do that, please be specific. Give me something focused. Give me something specific, not a really broad question like how do I get clients, because that's too big. Give me something specific that I can hone in on and give you a really detailed advice. And we have no pre-submitted questions for this week, but I just want to remind you that feature has not gone away, okay? Jennifer Dyer says, finally made significant progress on my website copy. I wound up interviewing myself to break the ice. Oh, love it. Also found another possible writing sample of marketing plan from years ago. Excellent. That's a great little tip. Interview yourself. You know, if it's awkward or if it's still not flowing, write some questions down and have somebody else, have a friend or relative interview you and record the conversation. Okay, good stuff, guys. Oh, Jim says, I win. Set up my LinkedIn profile, still a work in progress, but it's a start, and that is a success. Absolutely, Jim. Good for you. Fantastic. Way to go. Way to keep moving through this. All right. What's been your biggest lesson over the past week or so? As you've gone through the material, as you've executed what you've learned, give me something that's been helpful, something you've learned that's been useful as you've moved through this process. Just type in the capital L for lesson and let me know in the chat area. Hey, Rochelle, welcome. Good to see you here. I just saw you join. Monique, welcome. All right, we got a good little group here. Lesson, big lesson from the past week or so. And while you're at it, if you also want to let me know, what are you working on right now? When I say project, I'm specifically talking about what material from the training. Everyone's in a different spot. Everyone's moving at their own pace. So where are you? What are you working on? Some of you have already told me, hey, I'm working on LinkedIn, working on my website. Let me know by typing a capital P for project, just so I know that's what it is you're referring to. And Susan, we've had some really good questions in the Facebook forum lately, haven't we?
Definitely. And I want to encourage everyone to keep them coming. That's a great place to get a question answered relatively quickly, you know, within a day or so. We try to respond, but there's been some great questions that are really, for me, demonstrating that people are out there trying things. You know what? I'm trying, you know, I sent this email, they didn't respond, or, you know, you're taking action, and that's exactly what we want you to be doing. So that's very inspiring to see the questions coming up. And they're fun to answer, fun to help.
Absolutely. Yeah. I saw one where someone was asking, hey, oh my gosh, I got this, you know, live prospect. What do I quote? And I think we got back to them, like it was maybe in the evening, we got back to them the next day. And by then she had already sent something. Mm-hmm. And the prospect went for it. It turned into their first client. And so one thing that I wanted to emphasize is one of the things that we want to help you guys with is as you move through this process to help you take some chances and become more confident in taking action. Don't feel like you got to have everything perfect before you take action. Yes, we'll give you advice, but if you're on the spot and you got to do something, make the best decision possible based on what you know, and know that you're going to make mistakes. You know, not everything's going to be perfect, but that's how you learn. So it was great to see. I think it was Rochelle who had gone for it. And she just put something out there, and then the prospect responded positively, turned into a client.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, so hopefully Susan will be able to rejoin us and get some sound. All right, guys, so let's do this. Let's move to Q&A, let's talk about any challenges you might be having. Here's what I'd like to do. Type in a capital Q as in question and give me something specific. Keep your question focused. Give me something detailed, something that I can answer in 3 to 5 minutes. Keep it tight and specific. That way I can give you, and Susan and I can give you really the best advice, and we can help you through whatever you might be facing. If applicable, give me one or two options or solutions you're considering. So if it's the kind of question where you're thinking, well, I'm wondering if it should be A or B, tell us. And that's going to give us a better idea of how you're thinking about it. And again, that's just going to make our answer and our advice richer and more relevant. Don't forget, when you're done, hit enter. Hit enter. Otherwise, we're not going to see it. And while I'm waiting for questions, again, I want to just talk about the ground rules are very straightforward. We have very few of them. Mainly, keep your question or challenge to one thing. So want to make sure we get to everybody. So keep it to one. If you have another one, that's fine. We'll come back to you. So after we're done, just type in your next one, and we can always come back to you. And the only other one I've already mentioned, which is keep your question focused. While I'm waiting, Randy had let us know about his lesson for the past week or so, getting more involved with group on Facebook. Project continues with input to Jessica for website build and getting to chapter 4. Oh, excellent. You know, that Facebook group, and I'm assuming Randy's talking about the Facebook forum that we have set up for you guys. It's a great resource for you. Use it. You know, that's Susan and I are here to help you. We got some great folks in this group who, if you need feedback from others, are always willing to give you feedback. So it's there for you. Take advantage of it. Susan. Susan, she's getting slides on the computer, but she had to call in for sound. So Susan, can you hear us now? Just let me know in the chat box if you're getting audio. Jennifer Dyer says, lesson, keep at it, whatever it is. Try new solutions when you hit a roadblock. Yes. Also, I got a reminder today that's so apt for me. My business is more important than my clients, i.e., don't put the marketing on the back burner. Oh, so true.
Wow. Yeah.
So true. Hey, Susan, I'm getting some background noise, but I don't think it's you. You know what? I think I know what it was. Okay, I think that's better. I'm going to keep referring to you, Susan, because you're the Zoom guru. So if I feel lost,
okay,
you're going to be my blanket.
Sounds good.
All right, so Susan can hear us now. Okay, cool. Perfect. All right, so guys, questions, challenges, anything you need feedback on, type in a capital Q and let us know. Keep your question focused so we can better help you.
And yeah, Ed, I wanted to share a story. I know we talked a little bit about this. Last week, we were on the call and we were talking about hitting the send button and getting those emails out in front of our network and how uncomfortable that can be. And I wanted to share a little story about what I went through with that same situation. Back a couple, I'm going to say probably 3 years ago, I think now it is, I was in one of Ed's programs, and that was also a part of the program that I was taking, was to reach out to your network by email and let them know that you have a new gig. And I was scared to death to do that. I just felt so uncomfortable, like I was going to be bothering people and so on and so forth. But I went ahead and did it. I sent a bunch out and I just said, hey, haven't spoken to you or seen you in a bit, but I wanted to let you know I'm doing this new thing. Keep me in mind. And then the next day I got an email back from a woman CEO, a colleague of mine out in Columbus, Ohio. And she said, I'm so glad I got your email. I have some work that I'd like to talk with you about. And so she and I spoke, and we started on a project, a writing project, where they are a social media company. And so they asked me to write LinkedIn profile updates for, they had landed a couple of very large contracts with big financial institutions, and they were redoing all of the executive level folks with basically updating their LinkedIn profiles. So they brought me in to do the interviews and then write the profiles and do write the summary in particular. So I did that for probably 8 months, something like that, 8 to 10 months. And then they reached out to me again and said, you know, would you be interested? We just picked up this big contract. Would you be interested in traveling the country and delivering LinkedIn workshops for us? And I ended up doing that for 2 years. So I just wanted to share that story because it's kind of interesting. I never expected it. I was scared to death to hit send. I really felt like it just felt odd and not right and uncomfortable. And I can tell you that, I didn't get 5 email responses, but I got one and it turned into some great long-term work for me. So I just wanted to kind of share that with everybody and hopefully encourage you to hit send, get those out to people, let them know what you're doing and how things have changed. If they don't have anything to say to you, they won't get back to you. But it's amazing where work can come from, and your network is a great place to do that. So just wanted to share that little tidbit.
That is awesome. That's all you need though, Susan. You only need one or two people.
Exactly.
To either, like your example was, that led straight to business. In many cases, what will happen, I find, is they'll refer you to someone who ends up hiring.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you just never know. And that's, I find that a lot of the hesitation or the reason people skip some names in their contact list and their network is that, she or he wouldn't be able to hire me. But I urge you to try everybody. Of course, if you got golden nuggets, fantastic. Many people don't have golden nuggets. They have connectors and helping hands. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Most of the time, when you do land a client through your network, it's going to be 1 to 2 degrees removed. So don't skip anyone. You know, just go out there. And if it helps you, I need you to understand that you're not selling something awkward or something that people don't want. So this is not like, network marketing, or you're not selling vacuum cleaners or knives or candles. You're selling a professional service, and you need to understand that that is totally different, and you should feel differently about it. Because it's not the usual thing. You're not bugging someone. Okay, great. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Susan. That's awesome. All right, Jim, I had a question. Again, guys, if you have a question, capital Q, or anything you want to talk about, let us know in the chat area with a capital Q in front of it. He says, I have a website with a contact form linked to a webmail address. Should my LinkedIn profile contact info use that email address or my Gmail address, or should I change the email address on the website? I'm not sure I understand. Could contact form link to a webmail address? So I'm assuming, Jim, here's the way I'm reading it. If somebody wants to contact me, they have to fill the form, and then my website automatically sends me an email with whatever was on that form. If that's the case, should my LinkedIn profile contact info use that email address or my Gmail address? Or should I change the email address? Susan, I'm not sure I understand. Do you understand what the question is? What he's referring
to? I think so. So LinkedIn allows you to have more than one email address. It's you can enter a couple and make one your primary and that kind of thing. You can add one, put one in as a backup. Some people do that with Gmail. So you can have more than one email address within LinkedIn. And so should my LinkedIn profile contact info use the email address or my Gmail address? So the question.
Yeah, I got that part, but I'm wondering, like, we may need to bring him in because I think it's the, hold on, Jim, I'm going to bring you in. I'll mute you here. That's not working.
There you go.
No, that didn't work. Here you go. All right, Jim, you're on. Can you hear us? Can you say something?
Yes, Ed, I hear you well. Do you hear me?
Yeah, perfect. All right, so tell us about the first email address. What do you have set up on your website?
When I first set up the website, which was before I started this class with you, I set up a webmail address that's attached to that contact form so that if someone contacts me by going to the contact form on the website, it automatically shows up in this website, this webmail inbox.
Okay. Now,
that's my JW at movebytrucks.com. And if I was wondering if, because the LinkedIn profile basically is about me, not my company, so to speak, should I have my Gmail or Yahoo account or something as contact information for
gotcha.
Email? Or should I just connect the two?
I would use your Gmail address in that case, because I'm assuming the first one, the webmail address, is kind of this ugly address, right? That's not your name. It's like all these numbers and characters. Is it one of those?
No, actually, it's the address is JW, which is my initials, but JW at movedbytrucks.com, which is my company name.
Okay. Now, where you said that's going to a separate inbox, though, the thing I'm actually most worried about regarding this is, are you checking that inbox daily?
Yes.
Okay. So you're having to check two different places, though, right? So you're checking that inbox, and then you check your Gmail.
Yes.
Yeah. So here's what I would do. I would make it easier on yourself. I would not have two different places where I have to check. I would have everything going to one place. So I would set up that form so that email goes to your Gmail address. And if there's no way to do that, I would create a forward, an automated forward to your Gmail address, if that makes sense.
Actually, I believe I can change that from the webmail. I think they gave me the option to use I'm not quite up to speed on the differential between webmail and Gmail, even if there is one. But I had always used Yahoo and Gmail. I tried to use Gmail as my business account and keep the personal stuff in Yahoo, and that didn't actually work out very well. And then when I built the website, the simplest, easiest way was to, and because I wanted the business responses all to be separate from my personal accounts, I went ahead and used that webmail connection that they recommended, which gave me the JW at movebytrucks.com. Now, if I'm all in favor of simplifying, and I'd much rather have only one place to check. So I know at some point in one of your articles or one of your podcasts, I heard you talk about why you should utilize Gmail or Google as opposed to, I forget now exactly what context you were using
as opposed to having your web host your email. I wouldn't worry about that right now. I mean, that's going to be an issue later, because if you try to go that route, that gets confusing, Jim. My first recommendation is go back into that form and look under the hood and have it go to your Gmail address instead of that webmail inbox. That's going to solve the biggest problem, which is having two different inboxes.
Okay.
And then in terms of, like Susan was saying on LinkedIn, that actually solves the problem, because now you can just post one email address in your LinkedIn profile, which is your Gmail.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me. I wasn't sure if there was some specific reason why I should have the contact information and the email address should be specific to my business as opposed to being a Gmail account like a million others. But you answered that for me, and I'd much rather have it that way, as long as I can. If there's no good reason to keep it separate, I'd much rather just have it simple and have one inbox to check.
Yeah, and so phase two of this will be to switch from being, you know, jim@gmail.com to jim at your domain name. But that's step two. Don't try to do all this together. The reason I like that is it's just more professional as opposed to using a Gmail account. Yeah, and you could do that. It's called Google. I think it's called Google for Work. And it's $5 a month, and it's through Gmail, but it uses your domain name instead of the Gmail domain name.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit technical on setting it up, so that's why I'm saying, hey, don't try to do this right now.
Okay.
I don't want to see you bogged down on this right now because it's not going to make a huge difference at this point.
But, and it's something.
Once you get a client or two under your belt, then I think that would be a good time.
Okay, and you don't see any problem making a change at some point down the road, even after I have a client or two? Making a change okay, good. All right.
No, it's not. Again, it's a little bit technical into several things you have to do, but the instructions are very clear. We did it 3 years ago, and it's awesome.
Okay.
It's much better than, and you don't have it through your web host anyway. You have it through Gmail. But for you, what it's going to give you, and for anyone who's got a Gmail address right now, that's what you're using for work, it's going to be much more professional to have an email coming from your domain as opposed to Gmail.
Right. That was the main reason, I think, why the WordPress program template, whatever it is that I was using when I built the website, recommended that I use that webmail, which gave me the JW at my domain name instead of a Gmail or a Yahoo. And it was, okay. But I like your plan of simplifying things and then changing it down the road when the time seems right.
Perfect. Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Ed. I really appreciate you taking the question, and I really enjoy these back and forths because I learn a lot. Thank you.
Oh, excellent, Jim. Great. Thank you. Great to hear that. Fantastic. All right. So Colleen and Susan, I'm going to bring you in. This is a great LinkedIn question. Colleen has a question about LinkedIn. She's still finding it challenging. She says, as background, my connection requests on LinkedIn are always just about connecting. They're not about selling. Recently, I've been using the one Susan posted on Facebook. Anyway, on two occasions, I have sent connection requests to prospects. These prospects checked my profile and then did not connect. Thanks, Susan. Feel free to do it. I think there's several messages here. All right. You feel the fear, do it anyway. Yeah, but so far it sounds like, you know, she's not selling or anything. It's just not, they're not accepting her request. My first concern is, you know, I wouldn't judge by just a couple how this is going to go. But Susan, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Sure.
I know you got some great stuff on this.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what I was going to say, is that there could be a number of reasons why they didn't just accept. It depends on the lead-in that you used. And sometimes, you know, what's happening, one of the things, and that's why I stress being really non-salesy, is because unfortunately LinkedIn is people are abusing it more and using it more as a, you know, as soon as I accept this person, they're going to spam me with all kinds of stuff. You know, once you're a first level connection, you can send unlimited messaging, and that's, you know, a lot of people are hesitant. They're being more cautious. And especially if it's someone who gets called on a lot, if someone gets cold called a lot, they're going to be a little more cautious. So don't take that personally. If you've done a good job of reaching out with a, hey, I'd like to connect because, and you've made that clear, or you see some, you've given them something to think about, then be patient with it. And with LinkedIn, you can go in and see, if you go to your network, I believe, and I'm not in front of it, so I'm not thinking off the top of my head here, but you can see how many invitations you've sent. And it goes back a ways. You can go and click on that. If you play around in the, I believe in the it's in the network piece, and it's at the, towards the top of the page, it'll say invitations pending, and then you can also click over and it'll show you how many you've sent. Sometimes I go and look at that, and you can retract your invite. Like if it's been a month or two, they looked at my profile and they didn't, you know what, I'm gonna retract the invite. The other thing that LinkedIn does automatically, just so that you know, is that it will remind that person that your invitation is still waiting. So a couple of weeks will go by. I don't remember exactly the parameter, but you might see maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks go by, and then they will automatically, LinkedIn will automatically send them another reminder in their email saying, hey, Colleen's invite is still waiting for you to act on. And they would have to take some kind of action. Either they dismiss it or they accept you as a connection. So be patient. I talk a lot about this being a farming definitely a farming environment. We really want to take our time and go easy. The other thing I might consider doing is checking their profile to see, are there articles that you could like as well, so that your name and your face come up a little more often. If they made a comment, you could comment also, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, depending on how important this lead is to you or this prospect. So, you know, but just take your time and be patient, because even if they didn't accept right away, they might be busy. Maybe they just took a quick look at you and then decided, you know what, I'm not going to do this right now. Maybe they get distracted, phone rang, something like that. So you just never know. Give it a little a little bit of time. But I'm glad that at least whatever you're doing is getting their attention. That's the good news. You've sent an invite that got their attention, and they took the time to click on it and see who you were. So that's great. I mean, I think from that perspective is take that away from and say, you know what, I'm doing something right because it's getting their attention. And it may take a little bit of practice and trial and error for you to just find the sweet spot of how to approach people. It just takes a little time.
So I'm going to, that's great, Susan. It's excellent advice. And I am going to add something. I'm actually going to post this in the forum. I've had better luck. I haven't measured this scientifically, but it's one of those things I can tell the difference. I've had better luck getting people to accept my request when my note that comes along with it is shows that I did my homework. And here's the thing. Think of it as the meaningful connection. For those of you who are already studying and applying warm mule prospecting, those of you who've gone through session 5 and already implementing that, you remember the meaningful connection. Hey, I noticed this about you. Think of that, and when you see my examples, you're going to see exactly what I mean. I've had better luck with that than a generic, hey, we're in the same industry, I thought it'd be great to connect you on LinkedIn. Just because I think that's what a lot of people are using, and when you show just a little bit of relevance, a little bit more relevance, and a little bit more customization, it seems like people are taking notice, and it feels more handcrafted instead of like, all right, this is a copy and paste job. Same thing with a warm email prospecting. So anyway, I'm going to post those here. And what I'd love to know in this thread that I just started is if there's other similar approaches or messages you're using in a connection request, add them as replies to it. It'd be really cool to see maybe a few others that are working for you guys. Maybe we can start kind of like a little swipe file. So there you go. In fact, that's what I'm calling it right now. I'm going to call it Swipe Files.
Swipe File. Perfect. Yeah, and I agree. I think that's what I tried to encourage in the video in my class about LinkedIn is that, you know, find something. Say something about, hey, we're both connected to so-and-so, or I saw you something about maybe an article that they posted or that they were written up somewhere, that kind of thing. If there's something that, hey, I saw that you just hired someone new or something, you know, just anything that can be like, oh, this person spent an extra couple of minutes learning about me. You can also look for commonness in, I know in the workshop we did live, we used to talk about looking for education connections as well. So maybe you both went to the same college, you know, or something along those lines. Sometimes just a little thing like that. It's like, oh, I see you're part of this. The other thing you can look for in their profile is not everyone does this, but one of the things that we do, we suggest is that you put in some people put in personal, like, oh, you know, my favorite thing to do on the weekends is hike with my dog or something in the woods. You know, some people do put a little more personal. Look for things like that. Other cues in their profile that you might be able to latch on to and use in that same way.
I like that. Anything to be different, right, Susan? Mm-hmm. That's really so much of this, of success here in this business, really anywhere, is about standing out.
Absolutely.
That's really the battle you have to fight, because if you can't stand out, nothing else matters. You're not going to get the attention to start some dialogue. So the first step in starting some dialogue with a prospect is standing out. Okay, good stuff. All right. I'm not sure I understand Randy's question. Let me read this. Who else may know the benefit of selling vacuum cleaners, developing the art of handling rejection, also the art of following up and the action of next? Each rejection is just one step forward to success. Okay. I think Randy is just saying, hey, just remember, every rejection is, hey, that's fine. At least you've gotten an answer. I think a no answer is better than no answer, because at least you know where you stand.
Yeah, exactly.
So I like no's. Totally agree. Michael has a question about contact management, where to save names, numbers, emails, any recommendations? Yeah, great question, Michael, and I talk a little bit about this in, I believe it's session 5 or 6, but I recommend starting with a spreadsheet. Simple spreadsheet, you don't have to get fancy with it. Each row is a separate contact, and each column is a contact field. So name would be one field, company, contact, and you know, email address is one, et cetera. And then toward the end, you can have different each column could be for each contact attempt and what happened. I'd rather see you start with that, keep it simple, and then graduate to something fancier than to spend, I've seen this before, it's actually more common than you think, then you spend 3-4 weeks finding and implementing a contact management tool. Because that's gonna slow your progress. So keep it simple at first. Once it starts getting to be too much, meaning you got, you know, let's say 100, 150, 200, contacts, and for each you have, you know, the first initial contact attempt, then two follow-ups for each, and you're going back and forth with someone, then it starts getting to be a little bit too much. My recommendation is that you look for a simple contact management system. And let me just recommend one right off the bat that's free and relatively simple, and it's HubSpot, HubSpot. HubSpot is fantastic. It really is free. It's very intuitive. Not everyone loves it, but I think that's a good place to start. It's not going to be any worse than some of the ones where you're paying $30 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're going to graduate to something, try something, it's free. Get used to it, and that's going to be a lot easier. I'm curious, Susan, do you use a contact management system?
I actually love HubSpot. That was one of the ones I was going to suggest. I've used, let me see. There's a couple of others that are free, I think, at a certain level, too. I think you can have up to X number of contact records in it before you have to start paying for it. And they limit what you can do, which is fine. I'm drawing a blank right now on the name. There was one, I'm thinking Zoho was one.
Yep.
Maybe.
Zoho Contactually is another one.
Contactually is another one, yes. And there's
that's
so there's
really
a bunch.
Popular with freelancers.
Yeah, and it's because it's light. It's not an overdone. I mean, you can really get. I've graduated to something different because I have something that combines that with a with other email features, more robust email campaign features, and that kind of thing. But for basic, for where you folks are, definitely HubSpot's easy. I agree. I think it's really intuitive and easy to use. And I like it. So I agree.
Yeah. Be honest with yourself. I think at the end of the day, you just need to know, okay, is this, am I secretly trying to stall? And I'm not saying you are, Michael, or not. And I've seen many situations where it's just a stalling tactic. So oh, wait a minute. I need to not prospect until I can set up my system. And I had a guy, it took him 2 months. To do that. 2 months, you lose so much momentum I mean, how do you even get back into it?
Yeah. Am I getting ready to get ready, or am I doing something? That's the question.
Yeah,
to ask.
Exactly.
Is this just getting ready to get ready, or am I actually moving forward? So
spreadsheet is something I can start right now, and yep. I can start knocking on doors. And again, since the way I'm teaching you guys to do this doesn't require you to build a list, you're just really kind of starting with batches of 5 to 10. And as I've recommended in these calls before, even better, I'd say 1 or 2 at a time. You don't need a ton of tracking up front. A spreadsheet would work. Michael says, As Ed is reading my mind, stall tactics. Well, I, you know, I wasn't saying that to you, Michael. I was just speaking from experience. A lot of people use it as a stalling tactic, and sometimes they don't even realize that that's what it is. Same thing with the logo. Hey, I'm when I get questions like, I'm thinking about a logo, like what would you recommend in terms of colors, or where can I get a good set of business cards? And like, yeah, that's not important. All right, let's see. Monique posted a question. Ed, I know. So again, guys, real quick, if you have a question or anything you need feedback on, anything you'd like to talk through, type in a capital Q for question in the chat area. So and keep your question as focused as possible so we can give you the best answer. Ed, I know you mentioned this before, but I don't recall where to find the information. And the follow-up to the initial warm email, what do you usually say the second time you reach out? Oh, okay, yeah. So so what Monique's asking about is you send the warm email, should you follow up? And I always recommend you do at least one follow-up attempt. And the question is, what should that copy look like or read like? Well, what message do you send? And what I like to do, what I found most effective, instead, most people like to say, hey, just following up on this, or the one that I hate is, hey, floating this back up to the top of your inbox, you know, something like that. And that to me just rubs me the wrong way. It's like, dude, I really, you don't want that. So I find that you can have the same effect of getting someone to pay attention to your message without saying, hey, pay attention to my message. You can do it indirectly. And the way I like to do it is I go to my sent folder. I find the original warm email I sent this prospect, and I click on forward and send it to him again, or send or resend or whatever. But I need an opportunity. I like forward because it gives me an opportunity to type in an additional message on top of the original message, if that makes sense. And what I will say is something to the effect of, I forgot to mention, you know, hey, Jim, I forgot to mention in my email below that I've also worked with, you know, on these types of projects, or that I do this kind of writing as well, or work on these types of deliverables or writing assignments. Let me know if it makes sense to connect, Ed. What will happen is you've given them, in that example, kind of a fractured message. It's not the whole thing. It's like this splintered message. It's incomplete. It's like half the story or a fraction of the story. And it's gonna cause someone to say, well, wait a minute, what is this? Who is this person? And guess what? They have the original email below, so they can connect the dots themselves. The other thing you did is you didn't resort to what everybody else resorts to, which is the, hey, just checking in. You know, did you get it? Can you get back to me? Or floating this to the top of your inbox. You know, that nobody likes that. So you can do it. You can get the attention indirectly. It helps if you have a couple of things in your back pocket that you can always use. So I always use the, you know, I forgot to mention that besides white papers and case studies, I also do a lot of bylined articles. So something along those lines. And I had a couple others like that. What you say doesn't really matter. So don't try to find the optimal message. Really, it's more about getting your name in front of them again without being annoying. Yeah, great question, Monique. All right, Susan has a question here. Thank you for the reminder nudge about relevance. I recently went to an industry networking event and had some very encouraging conversations. I hit a block when I was doing my homework and was feeling lost as to how to do my follow-up warm email. Went through your warm emailing module some months ago. Okay, so you answered my question before I asked, and then I'm also back to what Susan said. Hit send. Yes, hit send. You know, we just published a case study last month, someone who went through this program earlier this year, and that was her biggest fear. She stalled for weeks. She was scared to death of hitting the send button. And so the whole case study that we just focused on that, the fact that that was her biggest fear and her hesitation. Once she hit send, things started happening. Not that day, not that week, but things started happening and her business took off. I mean, as far as, you know, where she wanted to go and just getting that first paying client. And she said, look, she just kept emphasizing, I can't recommend that enough. People need to hit the send button. It's normal to be fearful. It's normal to hesitate, but you just have to hit send. You just have to muster up that bit of courage to take that first step. It is nerve-wracking. Totally get it. So you're not alone, Susan. It's very common fear. Michael says, regarding the contact management idea, yeah, thank you, action item this week. Stick to a spreadsheet only to track my contacts. Yeah. It's the way to... Great way to start. All right. So again, guys, type in a queue if you got a question, capital Q. That way we know you want to discuss something. And anything you have a concern about, a challenge, a question, keep it as focused as possible so we can help you best. And while I'm waiting, I'm looking, I went ahead and posted this in the forum, guys, the connection request swipe file, which is really a supplement to what Susan has in session five. And for those of you who have gone through session five already, I wanted to remind you that Susan has posted some excellent LinkedIn training in that session, really just a couple of weeks ago. So if you haven't gotten to that yet, don't worry, it will be there when you get there. So don't skip ahead. It's important to stick to the process here. But if it's been a while, go back to session five. She's got some great, great stuff on LinkedIn and how you can use it. Quiet bunch. I think we, here we go. All right, Monique has a question. All right, see, a prospect asked me for samples in my price list. I tweaked your master fee schedule and sent that out with a link to samples on my website. I was thinking about what you said about adjusting fees based on experience, but I did not adjust the fees on your list. I have not heard back from her so far. I'm worried that my samples are not strong enough. Do you feel strongly about adjusting the fee schedule at this point? I do, Monique. But adjusting it based on two things, based on your experience and your confidence level. I'm different from many other coaches. I don't believe in doing something that's completely outside your comfort zone. I am a big believer in stepping outside your comfort zone, but not stepping into the, what I like to call the panic zone, which I'm not sensing was the situation for you, but it is a very common thing. You need to be able to quote something that you can relatively confidently quote. So a number or a range that it's scary, but not causing you to break a huge sweat, okay? So that's the first thing. The second thing is you need to look at your experience. And the fee schedule that I posted, I didn't want to give you something just for now. I wanted to give you kind of like your where you want to be eventually and then have you adjust based on the difference between that and where you are today. It's going to be hard just to pick something from that list. It's going to be very hard to get a prospect to pay you $5,000-$6,000 for a white paper if you've never written one. And I'm not suggesting that's your situation, but you see what I'm saying? But if you take it down, as I recommend, significantly, you're creating a situation where it's easier for them to say yes. Keep in mind that at this stage, it's not about the money, it's about landing a paying client. That's much more important than whatever you generate from them or however profitable that project turns out to be. So when you look at it that way, then it doesn't really matter. You know, I recommend in some cases, hey, take 80% off that number. You know, start there. It doesn't really matter. So, you know, just as an example, $5,000, charge $1,000, charge, you know, $950, $900, somewhere in there. Make it easier for the prospect to say yes. So yeah, I think you do it, the two factors, your confidence level. Again, it should be a little scary, but not way too scary to quote the number. And then your experience level with that type of writing assignment. And the other thing you need to factor in is the prospect's budget. So as I walk through in session six, that's, you need to talk money in that conversation. You need to have that conversation, not at the very beginning, but at the end. Ask them what budget they're working with. Never guess. Okay, you might know, hey, this is the market rate, this is what I need to charge, this is where I feel comfortable charging, but you also need another data point, which is how they're thinking about it, what they're working with, because you don't want to spend a lot of time. Right now, it doesn't matter, you're learning, but as you move through this process and you start growing your business, you don't want to spend a lot of time with someone who's thinking this is going to be a $1,000 deal and there's no way you could do it for under four, for instance. The time to know that is very early on in the conversation. Monique also added, I did tell her the fees are an estimate and the fee will be determined by the actual project. Yeah. So even when quoting ballparks, Monique, I still recommend you take a percentage of what I shared with you there. And I talk about specifically how to do that in session seven. I don't know if you've gone through that, which is something I should have asked you. But for those of you who are thinking, oh my gosh, you know, am I going to have to guess at this? I got a very specific process that I walk you through in session seven. So if you're not there yet, don't worry. I'll be there. And if it's been a while, I would go back to that. And listen, at the end, who knows? I mean, they might be willing to talk with you and be honest and say, look, we can't pay that. And if that's the case, then ask them, well, what were you thinking? What do you have in mind? So when you get that kind of feedback, always toss the ball back at them and ask them and see where they are. And again, at this point, keep in mind that one of your mottos should be say yes to everything because you're trying to get some activity, right, Susan? Let's get started.
I agree. This is probably one of the most challenging points where you're at right now, Monique, in terms of you don't want to lowball yourself, right? You don't want to go too low that they think, wow, this person's not of value. Maybe she's not a quality writer. But you want to go low enough to make sure that you get the work, because it's important to get the work. It's an important time in your personal process as you're going through this course and as you're starting to get into freelancing. You know, you need the work. You want to start getting some traction and some momentum. So this is probably one of the more challenging things to decide. But I agree. I think I would err a little bit on the lower side myself. I know I did that in the beginning. And then I always thought, oh, I should have charged more after, you know, but then it's like, it doesn't matter. I've got the work. I'm going to just chalk it up to experience and move on from here. So, you know, it's not just because you quoted $200 to this person doesn't mean you have to quote $200 to the next person. Just use it as a stick in the sand to get you, okay, let's get my feet on the ground, let's get moving. And then the next one I'll know better. I mean, once you get the first one done, then you go, you know what, I'm charging more for that next time because, and this is why. And then it gives you the confidence to talk to any prospect to say, I understand what it takes to put together a good fill in the blank, whether it's white paper or whatever it is. And so this is why I charge X for this type of a project based on what you've told me. So that just comes with a little bit of experience. When you first start, you're just kind of going, throwing a dart, you know, to see just, okay, I'm going to try it. But once you do it once, then you'll know, you'll have a much more comfort with going out and saying, all right, this is how much I charge and this is why.
Yeah. Going back to, when I was starting, I hadn't written a white paper before. I already had a few paying clients, but I really wanted to get a white paper under my belt. And I had this amazing opportunity. So this is a software company. They're based here in Atlanta. My wife actually worked for them a few years earlier. And I had a couple of contacts there. Not in marketing, but I still had a couple of contacts. And I don't remember if that's how I got an appointment there, or that's how I was able to start a conversation through one of my contacts. But anyway, the point was, I even met them. We had a great conversation. They had several white papers they needed written. They didn't question me at all in terms of samples and all that. They just checked me out on my website because I came recommended. Now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure I came recommended through one of my contacts. They said, all right, so let's start with this one. Please send me some pricing. And I didn't do what I tell you guys now to do, is in that conversation, don't leave without talking money. I use the ATM acronym, mm-hmm. Always Talk Money. Yep. And I've learned the hard way to do that. And here's what happened. I did all this research and I found that, you know, white papers, a lot of people are charging $4,000 to $6,000 for it. So I went with $4,300, and I sent it in like no answer, which doesn't always mean that they're not interested, or that it was too high. And finally, she didn't call me back. She emailed me and said, I'm sorry, but you know, that's nowhere near what we pay. We've been paying $2,500, I think it was, something like that, significantly lower. And I remember kicking myself, thinking, you know, had I asked that, I know she would have told me. If I would have asked her, what budget are you working with? She would have said, well, you know, we are paying around, or other writers in the past will pay $2,500. And at that point, I would have said, okay, you know, normally I charge about $4,000, but I want to get my foot in the door here based on what you shared with me. I could do that. I could have accepted it. I could have negotiated something. I could have maybe negotiated better terms in order to concede. But very important to talk money. And again, that's something that that I cover extensively in session 6, because it's so important. Kick myself for at least a year. I eventually got another opportunity to write a white paper, but that would have been a marquee client very early in my freelance business, which would have really been fantastic.
Yeah, and a simple way to do that while you're sitting there, and I know Ed, your program actually talks about how to talk about money, but saying, you know, if somebody says, okay, if you could get some pricing together for me, that would be great. Say, happy to do that, but why don't we start by giving me an idea of what your budget is? You know, can I understand a little bit more about your budget so that I'm not, you know, throwing you for a loop when I send you pricing? I want to make sure that, that I can come within that budget or something like that. So I also find that less is more. So if you simply say, happy to put pricing together for you, can you give me an idea of your budget, and then shut up? Sometimes it's hard to train yourself to just don't let them answer. Don't overtalk it. And don't try to, you know, sweep away discomfort, your own discomfort in particular. Ask them a question and let them answer it.
Absolutely. That's something that I had to practice because I always felt, okay, so the budget, and then, you know, I kept talking.
Me too.
Like, ask too. And shut up.
Yeah.
And that takes a little bit of practice.
Oh, yes, it does. Ooh, yes, it does. More than a little. For me, it did. It was hard. That was a hard thing to break myself of. It was to just ask
it's, the it's, question. Well, it's very common. It's awkward to talk money. In this country, we don't... you know, money's kind of a taboo thing. When you bring it up, it's just, you know, brings up all this baggage, you know? Okay. So Monique, yeah, sorry to hog the chat room. Hey, listen, I don't see any other questions right now, Monique. So, you know, we'll go with what you got. So again, guys, if anyone has a question, an issue they want to discuss, needs feedback on anything, capital Q in the chat area so that we know it's a question. And in ask something specific. Okay, the more specific you can keep the question or feedback item, the better. So we can give you the best possible answer. All right. I'm feeling a serious case of stage fright the more I put myself out there and prospects start to ask me about writing different projects. I find myself going back to trying to learning how to be a better writer. The more I prospect, the less enjoyable the process feels to me, so I'm struggling with sticking with it. I would much rather just dive into writing and becoming a better writer is this is the joy of the whole process for me. Anyone else can relate to this? Yes. Yes, you're not alone, Monique. The interesting thing is the way to get there and become a better writer is to do the uncomfortable things that are going to bring the business that will enable you to be a better writer, because you're going to have the opportunities to practice and to get better. Unfortunately, this is one of those rare businesses where you're expected to be at least competent in all these different areas. A traditional business, the president doesn't have to be the CFO. Or the salesperson, sometimes they are at first, or the head of production, the warehouse manager, receiving manager, truck driver, right? He or she does not have to wear all those hats and be good at them. Doesn't mean that he or she wouldn't be able to maybe take over or fill some of that, especially at first. But here, this is an interesting business, and in that you, in order to be successful, unfortunately, you have to be competent and as confident as you possibly can, and that just takes practice, and discipline to do the prospecting. That's just, you know, the way it is. Now, I think that there are other models and other things you could do as you grow where you can have someone do some of these things for you. And I strongly recommend you look at those. But when you're starting out, let's face it, we're bootstrapping, okay? So we can't afford to do those things. And unfortunately, you're going to have to do them yourself. What I've chosen to do is, there's no way around it, at least today. I've chosen to think of it as a great learning experience and a skill that, you know what, I hate to do this, but I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be much more balanced, much more skilled in different areas. And I'm going to come out of this just much stronger overall. And it's just really a choice, you know, an outlook. And I chose to do that because I just saw no way out. So I figured, you know what, I might as well look at it differently, because that's the only thing I have a choice on, is how I view it. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the way to get more into the craft, which is really what you enjoy, unfortunately, requires you to walk through the coals, the hot coals. there's no other path right now. I think if anything, Monique, just understand that that is a very common feeling, and I'm glad and just I think it's awesome that you've been so transparent about it.
Yeah, too. Too.
Right.
Yep. I agree. I love her candor with putting herself out there on this forum and saying, "Oh, I'm scared to death." The other thing that I always used to, and I still tell myself, sometimes I get presented with projects that, geez, I've never done that before. I always remind myself that I am a far better writer than 90% of the people on the planet. And I think we tend to forget that. And not that I'm an expert writer, but I'm better. I'm truly a better writer than 90% of the people out there, and 90% of the people in business anyway. And I think you need to just kind of step back and say, you know what? Am I a good writer? Have I never written a white paper? Maybe not. But am I a really good writer? Then if the answer is yes, then you need to just remind yourself of that and say, you know what, then I'm going to keep going, because I can help them. That's the other thing, is that can I truly help these people get a white paper out if that's what I'm focused on? And the answer is yes, then that's the same thing. You've got to remind yourself of the things that you can do, and don't just focus on the, oh, I've never done one before. We were all in that exact same place. I've never written a white paper before. Until I wrote one, right? I mean, you've just got to, mm-hmm. It's sort of, I liken it to, you know, how can you possibly train to be the president of this country, because you don't know how to do it till you get there. And it's kind of the same thing. It's, you know, you don't really have a place to practice necessarily. And so this would be a good time for you to just remind yourself, here's the things I am capable of. I know I'm a good writer. I know I can help. And just keep those things in mind as you move forward.
Great advice. And again, Monique, thank you for being vulnerable here and just sharing that with us. I guarantee you that most people are feeling the same way. In fact, yeah. Nanette just posted a question here. She says, I agree, prospecting is terrifying. I'm worried my message sent out to even my strong prospects is falling flat based on lack of response. Not sure how to tweak. Should I follow up if there is no response? These are people I know, just don't see. Yes, so two things. Nanette, I have a specific process for following up in a detail in session five. And basically, I'll give you the highlights. You want to follow up 2 weeks later, and then potentially 2 weeks after that as well. And the 2 weeks after that will be just taking your original warm email, turning it into a letter, printing it out, and sending it through snail mail. But with people you know, that's the process for mostly prospects you don't know, who don't know you. With people you know, you could, I recommend two different things. One would be to send it through, you could choose a letter, snail mail, just stands out. The other, which I think is really effective, especially if you're connected to them in social media, and if not, I would absolutely connect with them at least on LinkedIn and Facebook, if you're not already, and if you're a Facebook user, is to every once in a while, don't be annoying about this, but post something about your business there. What I find is that in many cases, it's not that they don't like what you're doing or they have no need. It's just that they forgot that the timing was off. Like when your message landed in their inbox, it was a particularly busy day, and then it just got pushed down in their inbox. So those things happen, but I find that if you connect with them on LinkedIn, the connection request, if you're not already connecting, could trigger that and say, oh, you know what? Sorry, I got your email. And in your connection request, obviously don't remind them. They'll say, hey, I sent you. Just treat it as a totally separate activity. And then when they see your stuff, it's going to remind them. I know I've been in that situation before where somebody contacted me for something and I just forgot to respond, or I said, hey, I'll get back to you, and I never did. And then I saw something on Facebook or on LinkedIn related to what they were doing. And that was the trigger for me to reach out to them. Hey, listen, I haven't forgotten. I just saw your post. I'm going to get back to you by the end of the day, you know, with a response or whatever. So, yes, I think it's okay to follow up with your contacts, cut back on not too much follow up with cold prospects. You can do a little bit more, add social media to this. And I would say one last thing, don't become emotionally attached to an outcome with any email you send. Okay. I know it's hard to do, especially when I remember when I was starting out, I know this guy. I know that Peter is going to be all over this. He's going to be very supportive. He's going to respond. He's going to refer me to some people. And Peter was one of the few who just never responded. And that was so hurtful. I'm like, oh man, I thought for sure Peter was, but then the wins I got were from people I didn't expect. So don't be married to a specific how. Be married to developing and maintaining the habit of knocking on doors, and just be open to the possibilities and where the responses are going to come from. Rochelle says, for some reason, I have major imposter syndrome on Facebook. Man, imposter syndrome is such a common thing. It is. Here's what I would say, Rochelle. Most of it is in your head. Okay. So I get it totally. I've struggled with it many times before. I think you need to understand that a lot of it is in your head. And what has helped me is to understand that some of the most successful people out there struggle with it. For some reason, that has made such a big difference for me. I've read articles about these successful, ultra-successful actors and artists who, my gosh, they struggle with imposter syndrome like nobody's business. I'm thinking, what? You at this level? How could that happen? It's just common. And to me, just knowing that it's a shared emotion, a shared human emotion, very, very common, that makes me feel better about it. So not sure if that helps, but that's definitely helped me. Uh, Rochelle asked also about what should you say on Facebook about it? How do you recommend, or what do you recommend saying about your business on Facebook? Thank you. I need to hear that. Okay, awesome. Couple of ideas, and Susan, I'd love to hear what you're doing on LinkedIn too, because I know you're also kind of sprinkling some of that your stuff on LinkedIn. So one of them is when you're starting out, I think just kind of a couple of announcement posts. Hey everybody, want to let you know I just launched a writing business. I'm leveraging my background in the training industry to work for training companies, whatever, right? Use your value statement as kind of the genesis for this. Keep it low-key, conversational, non-salesy. And the call to action should be, if you know anyone who fits this description, or if you own a business and you need, and give them a couple of examples, you need a website that's more professional, that communicates a more professional, clear, more persuasive message, or a, promotional emails or a newsletter, just give them some examples so they have some context. Feel free to reach out, private message me, or here's my email, or here's my phone number. So those kind of messages work really well at first. Then the others, especially on LinkedIn, after that, what I've done is just share valuable information related to marketing communications on LinkedIn, third party resources. And then eventually, when I started writing my own articles about content marketing, then I would share those in social media. So those are great ways just to kind of keep your name out there and move from starting from promotional announcement to maybe your thoughts or third party stuff to then your thoughts. What have you done, Susan, that's worked well to kind of keep your name top of mind in social media?
Definitely. Well, LinkedIn is where I focus my time because of the audience that I'm focused on, who my core audience is, my target audience. But I agree with you in terms of sprinkling information. I'm always surprised. I do a lot on LinkedIn where I'm sharing articles that I see that I think are good. And I'm always surprised at what gets response on social media, the kinds of things that get likes and get comments. So I try to mix it up a little bit, especially on LinkedIn, where it's, for me, I'm focused on women writers, women who want to write books. So I'll put articles out there about progress that women are making in the professional environment, that kind of thing, just different things. And I'm always surprised at the response it gets. When it comes to Facebook, I don't talk a lot about my business through my personal profile. I just don't. It's very much my friends, my family, that kind of thing that I'm connected to. I have a few clients that I've connected with on Facebook. Facebook allows you to, you can also start a page for your business if you want to. It's free. It's part of the, just like on LinkedIn, you can start your own business page if you wanted to. I wouldn't recommend LinkedIn necessarily, but Facebook might be a way to do it. And so that's how I was able to kind of keep things separate for myself on Facebook, is to keep my personal profile separate and then make a little page for my business. And so I share a lot of stuff through there. I know a lot of people, however, who actually don't do that. So they're promoting their business. They're talking about their business to just whoever they're connected to on Facebook. I think it's a kind of a personal choice as to how you want to do that. But I wouldn't hesitate to use Facebook in exactly the way you just described, Ed, is if you have a lot of connections on Facebook, that's a big network that you don't want to overlook. And if they're active, you want to get the word out. And very much the way that it's that email to your network, that same message, that same kind of a message, I think is the best way to do it. And I like to describe it as wading into the water as opposed to diving in head first. So just try that. See what kind of response you get. See what's what, you know, and try a few things and test the waters a little bit to see what the response is like among the people that you're connected to. I do know that Facebook, the algorithm is changing a lot. There's a lot of talk about not everybody you're connected to gets to see your updates, things like that. So that's why I'm suggesting test it. Do a small test, see what you think, maybe try a couple of different things on Facebook and see if it works for you. And it really is such a case by case in terms of, you know, what audience am I after? Who am I connected to? It's that same kind of an approach as I talk about for LinkedIn, but the audience on Facebook, obviously the content on Facebook is a little bit different. It's a little more casual for the most part. So, but my number one suggestion is try a couple different things, see what kind of response you get.
Yeah. And at first, I think even if your audience ends up not really being on Facebook at first, because you're tapping your network.
Correct.
I think I would try it there too. Mm-hmm. Yep. So Susan had a related question. She said, hey, when you share third party stuff, social media, how do you make sure we give proper credit? Just direct linked, or what do you do? And the easiest thing is just to share it. So you take the link and you post it, and then I would add some commentary. For instance, like I'm here at the Content Marketing Institute website. They got a post called 8 Copywriting Techniques to Boost Email Conversions, or 5 Psychological Insights to Improve Your Content Marketing, How to Plan a Year's Worth of Content with 1 Original Research Survey. This is all great content to share. And what you do is you take the link, post it, and then say, hey, great post on X, Y, or Z. And I particularly agree with tip number 3 and 7, back something like that. So add some, don't just share it. Add your bit to it. So that's kind of the easiest way. I should also mention, here's another idea that I would absolutely use, is when you land a new client, so once a deal is done, post about it. Hey, just signed, a new client to help them with this and that or the other. If it makes sense to name who it is, then go for it. But if not, at a minimum, explain what it is you did. And that just shows social proof. Meaning that, hey, people are hiring you, shows that, you know, this thing's for real, that you're doing this. And then it gives people an idea of what it is you do and what you help clients with. Plus, it does the thing that I keep saying, which is keeps your name top of mind. Rochelle says, I do have a Facebook page. Try a couple of different things. Thanks, Ed and Susan. That was helpful. Awesome. Yeah. And by the way, it doesn't have to be on your writing business Facebook page. Some people set up a separate page for the writing business. You could do that. I think it's fine. I was talking about your personal page, especially early days, just help spread the word there. And again, yes. One of the benefits, going back to the original question, is the fact that Colleen, it's like, hey, how do I keep my name top of mind? I don't want to bug my network. I sent, one, maybe a follow-up message. That's it. Stop there. And then hopefully social media will help trigger that. Susan says, and it helps to celebrate the baby steps you talk about too. Absolutely. And that's why, we start out here every call. What have been your recent wins? Every baby step counts. Every single one of them. Positive response, someone commenting, the fact that they are impressed with what you're doing, any of that stuff, man, anything that just feels good, that got you even just an ounce of additional motivation and encouragement. Those are all wins. You should celebrate them all. Keep in mind, baby steps, it's like saving and investing. It compounds very, very quickly. It's about the consistency. It's about taking one step at a time consistently, not about overnight success. All right, guys, so we got time for one more question. If anyone has been holding out, type in a capital Q and your question if you have something. And while we're waiting, I'd love to hear what, out of everything we talked about today, what's been your top insight or takeaway? Top insight or takeaway from a discussion today, or maybe, you know, your biggest one or one of the ones. Top takeaway from today's conversation. Just type in T for takeaway and let us know in the chat area. One thing, Susan, that I remember doing is I created and practiced a what I call a layman's value statement. And I talk about this in the training that I would use when at parties and anytime I met a friend or a colleague that explained what I did in simple terms and in an interesting way. Mm. That really, really helped. And the way I would do it is I would kind of chunk it up rather than kind of vomiting on them, which is what I think a lot of people do. I had learned from being in sales that it's more effective to just give them little bite-sized pieces that are intriguing enough to cause them to say, oh, that's cool. So do you do this, or is it like this, or tell me more about that, or what does that mean? And that's what you want, because really – you want to engage someone in conversation. And if you give them kind of the standard, you know, 5-minute elevator pitch, which you shouldn't do anytime anyway, but that's going to turn them off quick. So I find that it's better to not wing it. Just
no.
Craft this, right? Script it, practice it. I like to role play, you know, with someone, your spouse, one of your kids, you know, a friend, role play until they feel that it sounds really natural.
Absolutely. I think you don't want to be caught flat-footed, so to speak, when someone asks you. You don't want to be stumbling all over yourself. So it's good to come up with something that not only you're comfortable with, but that you're excited about. I think being able to say something that makes you comfortable, something that you're, somebody says, oh, so what do you do? Have something ready to say, pique interest and just give them enough information. I have a very simple one for my business right now. My tagline is helping women tell their stories. And so I help women tell their stories. And then I go on to say, there's a couple different ways I do that. Sometimes it's this or that, you know, and I get into the details and people say, really? So what kind of projects have you worked on? And so it's brief enough that it piques their interest and gets them to ask me questions back. It's exactly what you want to do.
There you go. It's
just enough to say, really? Like, so tell me, like, what kind of, you know, what kind of books have you helped people write? You know, that kind of thing. That's a great question, because it's then forget it. you're toast. I get out of the way. I got a lot of stories to tell you. So, but you want to be careful. I agree with just talking too much. Again, we've talked about that a couple of times today, and I think that's a good thing to keep in mind. It's just, you know, easy with the information, especially if it's someone who doesn't really understand what a copywriter does. And I think that's a big issue as a copywriter. And what that means is I help people write meaningful messages for their business. Really? So what does that look like? You know, something very, very simple. You know, don't get too, you know, I help these kind of companies write meaningful messages for their marketing. So keep it simple, but have something ready and practice it. I agree.
So Jennifer said, top takeaway info about timing in the content for Warren Mule prospecting follow-up. Yeah, that's good stuff. That's important. Susan W., I forgot to mention lead-in when sending a follow-up to a Warren email. Yeah, that was a popular
that's a
one.
Good one.
Yep. And I got a specific example of that in session 5, by the way. Make a date appointment with myself daily for marketing. Yes. Yeah, it needs to become a habit. It really does. It's so important. Nanette says, do the follow-up and add your bit to the share. Yeah. Keep prospecting, says Monique. Top takeaway, yes. Randy, top takeaway, the follow-up to warm emails with the original plus another way I can help. Also, the logic of ATM, always talk money. Yeah, very important. Jim says, top takeaway, scripting a response when people ask, what do you do? Yes. You want to take it from feeling anxious when somebody asks that to feeling like, oh man, I'm glad they asked. I can't wait to try this or to use this. let's see, competence plus confidence plus discipline. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, great way to put it. Yes, you need all of those. But you know, that's, it's baby steps, right, to get there, because these things take time. You're not going to have overnight confidence. You're not going to have overnight competence. You're not going to have overnight discipline. These things, you just start one step at a time. All right, guys, want to make sure that you have something concrete. The next action item. What is your top action item from what we've discussed today, what you've been going through? It doesn't really matter, you know, as long as it's something that's going to help you move forward. Type in a capital A, and then let me know, what is your top action item for the next, let's say, 2 weeks? We're going to talk again in 2 weeks. Let's say 2 weeks is the 23rd, Thursday the 23rd. So top action item that you want to have completed between now and then. I think somebody had posted one in here. Actually, Susan, it's, for her action item, make a date appointment with myself daily for marketing. Yeah. You know, I like to think of it as a doctor's appointment. The doctor's appointment is one of those things that I don't know of anyone who blows them off. you know, you wake up that day and, yeah, I got a doctor's appointment at 9. You don't say, I don't feel like going. Like, nobody does that. I mean, not repeatedly. So, it's interesting that when it comes to prospecting or something we feel that we don't really like doing, maybe not as enjoyable, mm-hmm. that we treat it that way, even though it's so important. So I'm a big believer in carving out the time and actually scheduling it in to your day at a very specific time. And if you're having a really hard time making it a discipline, start with the smallest amount of time that's right. reasonable, like 30 minutes is a good start. 30 minutes, but when it's really small like that, go into the 30 minutes knowing exactly what you're going to do. Because many times if you don't write that down ahead of time, you're going to go into it and you're going to spend the first 15 minutes trying to decide, okay, what am I going to do with the 30 minutes? So have that going in, and that tends to work really well. We got, let's see, Jennifer says, top action item, wrap up website copy, move to the next lesson. Awesome. All right, Jennifer. Hey, let me know. So do you have a date? Do you have a deadline for wrapping up website copy? Let us know. It's very important. Otherwise, it becomes a moving target. Nanette says, top action item, continue to prospect and start sharing articles. Good stuff. Michael, website active and done. Yes. Randy says, website online. Deep dive lesson 4, coordinate LinkedIn profile with website. Awesome. So, Randy, let us know, what's your deadline for getting a website online? Monique, 1 hour of prospecting, 5 days per week. Great. So make sure to carve it in. Schedule it in, Monique. I like it. I like how you guys are thinking about this. All right. Oh, Rochelle, prospect and work on short pitch. Absolutely, Rochelle, and give yourself some specifics, right? It's make sure you have something concrete. So in 2 weeks, you know, say, oh, I meant to prospect more, but you want to be able to say in 2 weeks, I met that goal. I had some specific tasks and I checked them off. Jennifer says that regarding her website, I'll have to schedule it, but I will. Not being done is holding up a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. Jim says complete lesson 4 by this time next week. There you go. Yeah, perfect. So time-based. All right, guys. Good stuff. Randy says he's going to be online by 8:15. Ooh. Awesome. Do me a favor, Randy, and you guys who have something like that, let us know in the forum. So once you are live, once you have completed that big project, please let us know in the forum. We'd love to hear it. Susan, anything from your end before we wrap up?
No, I like the, I am happy to see the action items really focused all on the prospecting. Small bites, baby steps, if you do it, you know, I know somebody put down here an hour, 5 days per week. do it. Stay with it. But just, you know, be kind to yourself and know that this is only going to make your business better. It's going to get you where you want to be. It's the reason that you got into this. Is so that you could do the writing work you want to do, but the prospecting is a necessary and important step. So, and it's the only way, like you said, it's, you know, through the calls, I just got done reading the book, The Obstacle is the Way. Ed, you actually recommended that to me.
Yes.
And I actually listened to it. I had a long drive and I was able to listen to it recently and listen to Ryan Holiday talk about his book, read his book to me. It was kind of fun. But what a great book. So don't, you know, it feels daunting. It feels uncomfortable. It's very, very challenging. It's a challenging part of the process. But know that if it wasn't for the prospecting, you wouldn't have anything else to do. So you really do have to do the prospecting. And it does get easier. Just keep that in mind. As you get more comfortable and you get into a rhythm, it'll get easier.
I think it's a great way to close this conversation today, guys. Thank you for participating, for being active participants. Thank you for continuing to push through. I know this is hard work, but you guys are doing awesome. So let's continue that conversation in the Facebook forum. We're here for you, and we'll talk with you guys again live in a couple of weeks. Take care, everybody.
Stay cool.
Yeah.